Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
So normally in the Bible, one thing you can do is if you want great insight into something, go and find the first time in the Bible it happens. Go to Adam and Eve for the first marriage. You'll learn a lot there. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go to the birth of the church as we know it. We're going to go to Acts, and we're going to look into it. We're going to ask God to take us very deep, and we're going to ask this academical part, which is a start. The truth will set you free. And sometimes the truth needs to be explained, but once you have it, it's not something academically that stays out there. It's something that presses deep into your heart. And that is my aim for tonight. Now, there was a man called Peter, and he told Jesus, even if all the other disciples fall away, I will never fall away. Come on, I'm Peter. Did you check when I walked on water? It was only a few seconds, but I did it, not the other guys. And they will fall away. Surely they will fail, but me. That same night, he denies Jesus three times. Okay. But after the Holy Spirit was poured out and this man got filled with the Holy Spirit, something shifted in his heart and he preached the gospel to masses of people. We know there was 3,000 people added to the church. And we also see in scripture that everyone's heart does not always respond. So we can assume there was more than 3,000 people. And they could have killed Peter that day. The man changed. And he was sharing the gospel. He was going out there in Acts 2. You can read for yourself in Handelinge 2. And he preaches the gospel to these people that would soon become the very first church. Dit is jou oupa grootjie in die geloof. Right? They are your godly ancestors. They started, all right? And we pick up at Acts 2 verse 37. After Peter preached, these people responded and they say, now when they heard this message Peter preached, they were cut to the heart. We're going to get to why they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we now do? What must we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the first church gets born. If we look at what Peter answered them, if we look at the foundations of the first church, I'm just going to read it to you. What Peter told these people, repent of your sins, the next slide there, and believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, is what he tells them. He says, be baptized in the name of Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what he tells them. A little bit later, a few verses on, it says, and they were added to one another, and they became people that cared for one another. So what also happened is then they became a community as a result that they were called to do 1, 2, and 3. They were set apart. And we read just the next verse, and it says, so those who received his word were baptized. They listened and responded. And they were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. They became a community. They became a church. Now, if we want to understand the heartbeat of church, I'm putting my neck on this table that this is the heartbeat, right? This is it. Then we have to understand the atonement. What that is. Now that's a new word for some of you. In Afrikaans, the word is versoening. All right. But understanding the atonement leads to the heartbeat of church. And this is the academic part, so just bear with me. So I'm going to lead you in a quick little survey on what is the atonement. What is the versoening? All right. Now, I've got a definition that I just took some big words out and just made it a little bit easier to read from my logo software. Atonement is this, or versoening, the means of reconciliation. That means the bringing together of two parties or two entities. The means of reconciliation between humans and God. Right, atonement in the Old Testament was made possible momentarily through the sacrificial system. People sinned, they brought an animal, and there was atonement for a while. There was versoening met God. But every year, certain sacrifices had to be made, and every month, certain other sacrifices had to be made. All right. But in the New Testament, atonement climaxes and concludes in the final work of Jesus, the final sacrifice, that is able to bring people to God now and forever. Therefore, we never have to sacrifice an animal again because Jesus is called the Lamb and his sacrifice will stand forever. Through the work of the cross, it can also be called the work of atonement, the bringing together of two parties. Are you with me? If it's a new word, don't be stressed or anything. I also had to sharpen up on the definition again. All right, you got it. Let's move on. Now, we're going to follow Jesus' work of atonement a little bit because it's going to take us to the heartbeat of the body, the church. In Matthew 1, an angel comes to Jesus' dad and said, "She will bear a son," speaking about his mother, "and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And so it starts. The word comes over Jesus. Even before he was born, this is going to happen. He's going to save the people from their sins. Picking up in Romans 3:23. Don't lose me here, all right? "For all have sinned, every human, and fall short of the glory of God." Now, I want you to look for atonement, okay? Look for reconciliation. Look for parties coming together and what makes it possible. "And are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward," here's a big word, "as a propitiation by his blood." It means to put something forward, to do or pay something in your place, so that the person which you owe say to you, "I am happy with you now because someone else paid what you owe me." That's the idea of a propitiation. Jesus was put forward. Are you with me tonight? All right. Okay. Hold on. Your brain, I know it's weekend, but tap in with your brain. This was to show God's righteousness. Now, just say, tell the guy next to you, atonement, het twee afdelings. Twee. Okay. Peace, twee. The first work of atonement was Jesus' passive obedience. Listen up. What this means is what Isaiah 53 verse 5 says. "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." The writer describes Jesus Christ giving himself over. It's called his passive obedience. He had to lay down on the cross and not get off. He had to allow them. He was standing like this. And they were hitting him. He could do this. And they would fly. But he was obedient in that moment by allowing humans to commit sin against him. The passive obedience of Christ. It says in 1 Peter 2:24, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree," or on the cross, "that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Very important. The death of Jesus washes you from your sins. Gives you a clean slate. The passive obedience or passive atonement gives you forgiveness for sins. But it levels you to where Adam was when he was walking the earth without sin. But Adam was able to sin and fall away from God. Are you with me? So we need more than just a clean slate. We need a righteous record before God. God needs to look at us and say, this is my child and I'm well pleased. He's doing the work. He's doing my work on earth. But we cannot create our righteousness for ourselves. So not only was Jesus passively obedient, he was also actively obedient. That's why he lived a life of righteousness. Jesus could not die as a baby. It would not work. He had to live. Let's read together. Jesus' work of atonement, the active obedience, the second part of the atonement. This part is for our righteousness. It says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience many will be made righteous. In Philippians 3 it says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. What this means is the following. We come to God and we give our life to him and we experience peace, but we still carry shame for some of the stuff we did and some of the stuff we're struggling to give up. And that is where the active obedience of Jesus comes in. Every time Jesus spoke lovingly when the enemy tempted him to swore or to break down, every time Jesus spoke with loving words, you can go to the Father and say, Lord, I'm so ashamed of my tongue. And the Father says, the tongue of Christ is given to you for your righteousness, so you can have peace. For every evil thought you had and you dwelled on, maybe it was anger, maybe it was lust, maybe it was jealousy and it stayed with you for 3 months and wanted to pull you away from God. Every time those temptations came to Jesus, he overcame them. And so the righteousness, the record of the emotions and the mind of Christ is given to you as your righteousness. That gives you the courage to get up and go again. The death of Christ forgives our sins, the passive obedience of Jesus. The life of Christ gives us a record before God full of righteousness. That's why we have that saying that says, he lived the life we should have lived, but died the death that we deserved. Atonement. Now, very important. The heartbeat of the church is the work of atonement by Jesus, our Lamb. It's the heartbeat of a church. Let's go through it for a moment. Some of the people that were standing, we're moving from the academic part now, some of the people that were standing there where Peter was preaching was probably at the death of Christ. They were probably, it was a close proximity after he was crucified. Some of them was there, or some of them would have told other people, this is what happened. This is this Jesus this man is talking about. And as Peter preaches what happened to Jesus on the hill of Calvary, like photos was running through the memories of some of his people. And Jesus had to die for us. And his passive obedience went more or less like this. Hold on to your seats. They beat him on his back 39 times. At that moment, in the way they were torturing people back then, you would be able to see some of his intestines, right? You'd be able to spot certain organs, right? They chained him probably like this. If he lost his strength, he would still hang and they would be able to carry on hitting him, okay? They ask him to carry his cross. A man comes and helps him. He follows their lead in crucifying him, his passive obedience, he's going with it. He know it must happen. It's what the Father said. He said, Father, can this cup pass? But he knew it is for this purpose I am called. So he allowed the authorities to lead him to the cross, the passive obedience of Jesus. And they commit the greatest sin ever committed in the whole world. If someone would crucify you, you are a sinner, right? I cannot say what I really deserve or not. But there was one man who never sinned. And they lead him to the hill. They put nails through his hands, nails through his feet, put a crown on his head, mocking him, and raise him up. Now the way your chest would pull, if your arms are open like that and you are hanging, is that it's the method of death is that you would suffocate. So to breathe, you can't just hang there. You, in one way, you need to be able to lift your chest to create a cavity for your lungs to come open and close again. And that you could do by one of two ways. You can press on the nails in your feet and feel that pain, relieve your arms for a while and the air can come in. But just as you've got the air, you realize, man, I cannot stand on these nails. And you bend down, oh, and you breathe out. Next time, maybe you try your arms and you pull up on your arms and you feel that pain coming through your hands. You get the air in and out. As you are moving with your intestines basically rubbing against a wooden object, it is giving you pain from the back. So you really, you cannot move, but you have to because you have to breathe. The passive obedience of Jesus, which we read over very quickly. And as Peter is standing after Pentecost and he is talking about this Jesus, some of them might remember. Some of them maybe, if it is a knop in the kilkere, some of them remember, they saw it, they never want to talk about it. And here they are confronted again. He is speaking about this Jesus and what happened to him. That's the physical pain. And just as a note, the Bible does not claim that physically Jesus had the worst death ever. It could be that there was Christian martyrs out there, maybe today, that's being tortured worse than Jesus. It is possible, right? Scripture does not claim that he died the worst. It's the most unjust death. Because any human, even a Christian that dies, they are sinful. But not Jesus. But now I want to shock you, and there's no other way for me to do it than to use a shock tactic. Is that okay? Can I do that? Omhoog kan ek, omhoog sê ja, omhoog gespoken. I want you to imagine this. I know this is hard, but imagine this. Imagine yourself getting in a fight with a family member by accident, maybe pushing them, they hit their head and they die. Because of a fight with you. And what you feel at that moment. Maybe you were drunk and you realize, oh, this is what did that. Or maybe you shouldn't have pushed them. Or maybe the arse don't do it, but you did. But something happened. Or you accidentally laid on your baby in the night and the next morning they're dead. What you would feel once you come to realize what you have done is experiencing a little bit of the weight of sin falling on you. There's people that can never recover, even if they were indirectly related to the death of a family member or a friend. It's very, very hard. Some people live with that shame after a broken marriage. But now what you need to imagine, I don't want to use rape as an example because I want to put you through that. But when the sin of the world fell on Jesus, that's what happened in that moment. Every rape, every murder, every theft, every young child that is murdered somewhere in the world, everything fell on Jesus. Scripture says he became a curse. There is nothing that compares to that. The pain of the cross was not the worst. Every sin fell on him. It is something unimaginable. What must have happened in the heart of Jesus on that moment? In that moment. This man never committed a sin. And everything fell on him. And what happens in Acts 2 is Peter is taking the crowd through this. And what happens? It says, they were cut to the heart. Die ligte het aangaan and they realized. And what Jesus has done His work of atonement is the heartbeat of church. Speaking in tongues is not the heartbeat of church. Discovering your spiritual gifts is not the heartbeat of church. This is the heartbeat of church. The atoning work of Jesus Christ and its ability to pierce your heart. What you need is not a new experience. What you need is the atoning work of Christ to press deeper into your heart. That's what you need. The heartbeat of the church is the atonement work of Jesus our Lamb. The first thing for tonight. We're going to go fast now. As the atonement of Jesus melts your heart, true worship arises from your heart. That's it. That's it. That is the heartbeat of church. It is the start and in one sense the finish. Everything moves from here. Do you know what a shame it is and how ashamed I am sometimes as a pastor representing the church that a church tells a person if they come to church, God will save them? It is a slap in the face of reality. It's a shame. It's allowing the atonement work of Jesus to cut deep into your heart. If you've been told by someone or they made you feel like if you pay your tithe, your sins will be forgiven, I am saying sorry to you. You are being lied to. This is the heartbeat of it. One man came, lay down on a cross. Scripture said, like a lamb that is silent before its shearers, he lay down and allow himself to be slaughtered in your place. And he lived and conquered every temptation so that his righteousness can be yours. That is the heartbeat of church. Amen. That is the heartbeat of this church. We said it this morning in the oor was so groot. If you're paying your tithe out of guilt, keep it. It's of no profit to you spiritually. Can't afford the building, we'll just have church on the grass. Easy as that. This is the heartbeat that the atonement of Jesus melts your heart. That's why we worship. That's why we lift our hands, not because the beat is nice. We lift our hands because it is a response of a heart that is melting thankfulness in remembrance of what the Savior has done in my place. Both Brown and I have said we would be dead today if Jesus did not save us when he did. What was the second thing Peter said? He said, repent for the forgiveness of your sins and be baptized. Why? Why? Not because we don't want you to be like the NG people. Please. That would be a shame. Here is the reason. Your baptism is a reminder of Jesus' work of atonement in your life. It is the heartbeat, the work of atonement. Baptism is the sign. He did it for me. Yes, he did it, but he did it for me, so I'm going to get baptized. Heck. Because he lay down on that cross. Got placed in a grave and he rose. And so a talk like Encounter One on baptism is not for people that must still be baptized. It's also for you that are baptized because you should remember and allow it to melt your heart so that your arms can be lifted up. Because you worry about whether you should buy this car or that car. Come on. Come on. Get to the heartbeat of life. Let it melt your heart. He'll give you the wisdom. Amen? Raise your arms up. Adore him. If church is a body, heartbeat is right here. The atoning work that Jesus did. That's what That's why baptism is important, all right? And then the last thing. What did Peter say? Repent, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Spirit. Why? So you can speak in tongues? Now, maybe that's part of it. You can do tricks. No, you can feel great. We feel great, but that's not it. It's so that you can have the power to share the message of this atonement in Secunda and beyond. That's it. Amen. It's the heartbeat of this church. It's what we live for and what we should be able to die for. Amen. That is the heartbeat of the church globally, church locally, this church, and this should be the heartbeat of your faith. And so tomorrow morning, if someone told you, maybe a YouTube clip or something, that if you psych yourself up enough, then you'll hear God's voice, they lie to you. There's nothing wrong with getting loud and proud. Go for it. Close your eyes and remember what He has done. And then you say, Lord, I've got a melted heart before You, that You would come and live in my place and endure hostility from people and demons and press through all the way. And then when you get to the cross and it's so hard for you, you press through. And then you say, forgive them. That is how you get into the presence of God. You don't need Bethel, okay? You need to remember the work He has done. That is the heartbeat. From there, the hands start to move. From there, the feet start to move. We get to orphans. We go on missions. We start bands. Why do we do this? Because a Savior has come and we want to be reminded and lift our hands to Him. Why do we have small groups? Because if we meet together and we remind one another of this, we point back to the heartbeat. The blood returns back to the heart every time, every time. This is it. Look no further. But it is a challenge for the church because we have lost the ability to get into our hearts and allow this to press deeper. And so we want to be entertained by shallow ministry. Let's repent of that. This is a gospel and will forever be. Let it go deeper into your heart, deeper, deeper, so that as the body move and do amazing things out there, which we want to do better here. But the goal is not to make the band worse, it's to make it better, right? We want to be better in presenting the gospel. We'd love, as a church, to love one another better, but why? For the sake of the One who came and lived and died for me. That's why. The heartbeat in the center of this church. I love preaching messages like this. Because if you are new around here tonight, you would know whether this is your family or not. You are invited. Let's look upon Him and marvel. Let our hearts melt. Isn't it amazing if you think of your sins? Think of some of the stuff you've done. Some of us, we've been trapped by the enemy and we lived in sexual impurity, okay? But not with Jesus, not so with Him. He was pure. The Father says, don't worry. If you will repent, say, Lord, this is how I lived. I will give You the purity of my Son. That's how the gospel works. Isn't that amazing? God, I've been angry with people, jealous, skinnerbeck. It's a problem with His mouth. My heart wants to go, but there's a problem with my mouth. Father says, if you'll repent, I'll impute the heart and the words of Jesus into your heart. Amazing. It's the gospel. You don't need the master prophet to lay His hands on you. He is a human. You need to look into your heart and see the One who did everything for your atonement. Then we have community and we Exercise the prophetic gift. Are you with me? Heart comes first. Heartbeat comes first. We cannot have relationship week if we don't understand this, because this is the why. We teach you guys amazing things in relationship week, and if you miss it, we're getting back there next year. But here's the thing. Because of the heartbeat, honoring our Savior and allowing Him to empower us to let our marriages reflect Him. And as it reflects Him, more people ask, we teach Him about the atoning work of Jesus. Starts there, finish there. If we can agree on this, we can differ about other things. This is it. Amen. And so tonight, my invitation to you is simple. Let there be a smile on your face as your heart melts away for what He has done.